Hi, this is Mary, and you're listening to WJMS Radio. And for this week's artist interview, we have a hip-hop artist, Kenny Morningstar. Hi, Kenny. How are you doing today?
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes, of course. I'm really excited to learn more about you and your music, your career path. So can you just give me a quick intro of like where you're from, how long you've been interested in music?
Hell yeah, hell yeah. So I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Right now, I'm based in Chicago, Illinois. I've been making music for, I want to say, like 2 years now, to be honest. And so far, I've been enjoying the process, the journey and whatnot. But it's definitely been strenuous. It's been stressful. And trying to really find a footing has definitely been hard. But hey, definitely been a journey. But it's fun. It's been fun so far. Hell yeah.
So you said you started 2 years ago. Why did you decide to like try yourself as a musician, or was it always something you've been wanting to do?
Honestly, I don't know why I started only 2 years ago. And that's something that like I kicked myself for, mainly because I wish that I was making music in high school. And I think a lot of the reason why I waited so long is because a big part of my life, especially in high school, was like my debate career. I did a lot of high school national debate. That's where I focus a lot of my time, a lot of my energy into. And I guess I just don't feel like I had the support to start making music a little while ago, or sooner than I would have liked to. That, and also just didn't have like the resources to make that music or to make stuff that I really wanted to make. And so 2 years ago, I was just kind of like, I want to say freshman year of college and whatnot. That's when I really decided to make music. And for no reason in particular, I was just like, hey, I think I can do this. And this is something I've always been thinking about trying. So why not try it? So, and that's where I'm at today.
Mm-hmm. And when you say you didn't have support, do you mean like financial support, or like did you maybe your family didn't want you to do that? What do you mean by support?
So in terms of support, I don't feel like I had like one, the finances to really do those things, because I was broke in high school. I was dirt poor in high school.
Yeah, we all are.
exactly. Like, you know, just struggling type stuff. But in high school, you didn't really need money, honestly. Like, at least the high school I went to, shout out to Rufus King High School. But you didn't really need funds to do anything, because everybody would just like do stuff together on the free tip of it all. And but I also don't feel like I had the real support, like from friends, that type of thing. Not on any mean stuff or anything, but just I didn't really think that I had what it take to, you know, really rap, make music. I didn't feel super creative is probably the best way I should say it. And so when I did show like friends and family some of the stuff that I would write or work on, I oftentimes just kind of felt like they were like, oh, that's cool. And it got pushed to the wayside, which made me just kind of, you know, take a step back from everything for a while until I gained the confidence to really be like, hey, I want to create something that's not just me reading philosophy, or I want to create something that's not tied to something else that someone else did, something that I make that's organic, that type of thing. So, yeah.
So you're a hip hop rap artist. Can right. you tell me, like, why did you choose, like, this specific genre?
Definitely. This is something I think about a lot. And this is one of the reasons why, like, it's hard for me to get into other genres heavy, mainly because I think it's easier to tell a story through words, through different, like, ways of saying something. That's not singing. It's hard for me to really get into singing. My sister is a huge singer. She loves that stuff. And after hearing her sing every day for like 20 years, I had enough of it. And I think rap, and I wouldn't just say rap in itself, but rap, poetry, spoken word, all of those things kind of just stood out to me, mainly because these are people telling their stories in rhyme schemes. Or they're telling stories through metaphors and similes, better ways for us to understand than through a ballad, you know, or better ways for us to understand than just, you know, just normally talking to somebody. I think rap in itself has a communal aspect to it that allows you to really see yourself in the position of the artist, because every artist, at least in some point, was in the same position as you. And I think only rap gives you that feeling, that understanding between the audience and the artist. But that's just me personally. I know a lot of people kind of have different opinions on that. But I think you can really tell a story through rap rather than, you know, other forms of music.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I feel like when you listen to rap, it's a lot more conversational versus like other genres. Right. And you mentioned that you do the spoken word too, and I've seen it a lot on your social media. So can you talk about that a little and how maybe it like connects to your music, or is it something you prefer to separate?
Definitely. So I do captain logs now, and in my captain's logs, those are all just like things that I wrote within the past 2 to 3 years that I've just been sitting on, because I used to write a lot in middle school, elementary school. I was always a big fan of poetry, no specific poets or anything, but more so just the art form of it all. The way that I started making these captain's logs was through writing down a lot of the feelings and emotions that I had, but instead of just writing them regularly as like on some journal entry shit, I decided to write it in ways that you can understand, as not just me telling you, because I think when it comes to human emotions and whatnot, I feel like we're very complex beings, and I can say that I'm mad or upset, but if I can tell you in a way that's artistically like appealing to myself, you can already infer how I feel through what I'm saying. Sometimes words just aren't enough. Sometimes you got to add that cadence, a delivery to it, a power or a performance to what you're writing, because that's what that's the best way to understand, or that's the best way to show those emotions. I think it's a, you know, a form of vulnerability, and something that I've just been trying to work on since I was a kid. I would say since I was 12 or so. Just trying to really work in and hone those skills of writing things down that's not in a regular, you know, journal entry type of way.
So was like English your favorite class at school?
It actually wasn't. I was really good in English class, like, because I just knew some of the things that they were saying. But if you ask any of my like English teachers in high school, I barely did the work, I'm gonna be honest. not for any reason in particular. It was just boring. You know, we all go through it. Like, that shit was boring.
So what was your favorite class? I'm just curious now.
That's a good question. By senior year, I wasn't going to school a lot, I'm gonna be honest. So at that point, my favorite class, at least in high school, has to be my freshman year global studies class. That was cool. But in college, I would say my favorite class has definitely been methods of inquiry with my teacher, Robert Wilkins. What was his name? Robert Watkins. Robert Watkins. Shout out to Robert Watkins. Great teacher, great class, you know, all that good stuff.
So you go to Columbia College, correct?
I used to go to Columbia College.
You used to go? Did you drop out?
Yes, I did. It cost too much. It just cost too much, to be honest.
What did you major in?
I majored in cultural studies, and I minored in African American studies.
Oh, okay. So no music business or anything like that, huh?
And I don't know. The way, I don't want to think about it like that, because I do feel like I should have taken more music business classes. But hey, it sometimes, you know, the stars don't align for you to do certain things. So yeah.
Yeah. Right. Interesting. Now I'm just trying to understand, since you didn't like writing in your classes at school, and you didn't really focus on music like, let's say, in college, when did you get interested in writing? Like, what was that moment that you're like, yes, I like writing, I want to do that?
That's a good question. The exact moment, I would say, okay. So just an early memory that I have that really made me want to go forward with writing in itself is, there's this poem. Well, it's more of a spoken word piece. And I forgot what the guy's name was, but it's called Amethyst Rocks. The guy that wrote that, it is so beautiful. Like, it's so beautiful. If you ever have the chance to like just look up Amethyst Rocks, listen to the poem, it's fire. And that was like that's what made me want to really go forward with at least attempting to write more, because the way that the author of that poem wrote that poem, it made me think that you can layer things in different ways. You can write things in different ways. Things that may not make sense to someone else, it makes sense once you break it down. Like, that's how I felt about that poem. And I heard that when I was like 14 or whatnot. And something that just stands out about the poem is the very opening. The guy is just like sitting on the block, slinging amethyst rocks, sipping on a collection of Mother Nature's private stock, dodging cops. Like that, it was just crazy to me. I don't know. It was just insane. And so after like getting super deep into like poetry and people writing, because of that, it just opened up a whole world of like new things to try in terms of writing. And also, quick side note, I'm a huge fan of battle rap. I love battle rap. And that's what also really made me start. That's what made me refine my writing and make it better, just because of how complex those guys are. I don't think people really pay attention to what rappers are saying unless it's something that's like super easy to interpret, you know, because people don't care about thinking no more. And I'm a victim of that, too. Like, I don't really want to think all the time. But I think it's definitely something good about having substance in what you create, no matter what it is.
So do you have any artists you look up to because you think like they actually have something to say?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Artists right now that I look up to, I would say definitely it's this guy named Silk Money. He's super fire, a great artist. He's my number one artist right now. I think he's incredible with talent, skill, unmatched, in my opinion. And that's something like he's one of those artists that I feel like everybody has a person in mind that they're like, hey, if I can really reach my true max potential and it's even close to this person, that would be great. And that's how I feel about Silk Money. The next person, a Chicago artist, or he's from Chicago. His name is Valet. He's been everywhere as of recently, but he's a great artist. He's one of those artists that you can say make ignorant kind of music and whatnot. But the way he does it, I like it a lot. It's crazy. It's inspiring. And the third person I would say right now is Baby Keem. Baby Keem is super fire. I feel like as long as I don't really care what your subject matter is when it comes to music, as long as you make it mean something, or as long as you say something that's different. And that's how I feel about Baby Keem. People make music, you know, turn up music or like sad music and whatnot, but he does it in with lyricism that's just different, in my opinion. So those are my top three artists right now.
Okay, cool. Good to know. I personally do not know any of them, I will be honest with you.
What?
So I'm
what?
Definitely gonna check them out. Especially like Chicago-based artists. Yeah, I live in Chicago for the past 3 years. Great that I don't know them. I will look into it. But now, as you told me who inspires you, I really want to know more like what your music aims to say, I guess.
The first project that I dropped, it's called North Lovers on the Road. And in that project, I don't feel like I really had a direction or anything. My whole goal with North Lovers Lane Road was just kind of to make something that shows what I'm capable of at that moment. So it was just a lot of just songwriting, you know, references to pop culture stuff, you know, that type of stuff. And after like 2 years, I've dropped two other projects after that, and then just like a lot of singles and whatnot. And at this point, I think my subject matter has significantly changed in ways that I personally like. I'm not the most spiritual person. I'm not the most like in tune with like current stuff going on. But what I write now has been a lot more personable. It's also been a lot more in retrospective of the things that I've done before and trying to move forward. And I guess at this point, my whole goal is to show people that, one, I can actually rap. I personally feel like I'm the best rapper in Chicago, as everybody should feel, as everyone should feel.
Right, yes. Like, that self-confidence, that's the first thing you need.
Exactly. Like, you need that self-confidence. But I also feel like I've proven that. I feel like I've done that already. Not like my spot is solidified or anything, because I'm barely, like, I wouldn't say I'm barely known, but just, you know, compared to a lot of other artists, I'm barely known by their standards, you know. But my number one goal is to show people that I can rap, that I can actually rap better than a lot of people. And I want to bring substance back, you know, not in that like condescending way, but in a way that makes people rap again. I feel like a lot more artists, especially bigger artists, have been rapping more. Like, it's been a lost form, a lost art. Even Drake, like, he's been rapping again. Like, people don't talk about that, but he's rapping again. And I love it. Like, I just love it. Kanye, he's been rapping. He's been rapping. And no one talks about that. And it just pisses me off because these people are actually, like, trying their hardest to show y'all, like, they got bars, that they can put things down and rap. But no one cares anymore. And that's what it feels like. And so I guess I just want to bring that importance of like substance back, that importance of like actually talking about things and whatnot. Yeah, I guess that's my biggest goal. Just having more songs and more music about being more in tune with myself, in tune with my life, and showing that people, like showing people, be comfortable with where you at and try to move ahead and move up from it and not just like, you know, sit in the same spot for years.
Yeah, that's definitely a good goal to have, especially now when everyone is just like so unfocused because of social media. Right. You know, like attention span is like very easy to like, you know, lose, I would say. So when do you usually create your music? Do you, I don't know, have a specific time of the day you prefer to do it?
Like, if you ask anyone that truly knows me, I'm writing all day, honestly. If I could have just one day out the week to just write, I'm for it. But there's not one day that I'll go without writing a bar down or writing some music. And normally, like, the best time for me personally, that's a hard question because I just write all the time, all day, every day. But if I had to pick a time, I would say probably either 12 p.m. or 8 p.m. is one of those two. Because, you know, 12 noon is almost the middle of the day. So it's like, all right, cool. I can relax. I can do some stuff. And then 8 p.m. is like the end of the day. It's not always all the way the end. So you're relaxing. You're like, hold up. Let me write a little music. And so those are the best times. But personally, just personally, but when I write my best verses, in my opinion, is always when I'm around other people. And not to like show them up or anything, but to show them that I can like actually do this. I can rap. Lately, I've just been pushing myself harder and harder to like write good verses in 15 minutes, in 20 minutes, in that type of that time span. Because that's just something that I think you have to, not even just as a rapper, but as a individual, you got to be able to come up with things like faster and not just like, you know, wallow in your thoughts all the time. Because that makes it even more challenging. It just makes it harder. But yeah, so I would say I do my best writing when I have a time crunch, and I write the most at 12 and 8 p.m.
So you are an extrovert if you like to be around people, I assume.
Yeah, I like being around people. It's cool, it's fun.
So have you had your like big performance yet?
I haven't had like a huge performance yet, but I've definitely had some performances so far that like been helpful for me. There was this, I was a part of a showcase before I left Columbia at Uncommon Grounds, which was great. Shout out to Uncommon Grounds, of course. That was a great performance. And another performance right before the pandemic happened, there was this guy named Dan Asman, and like, he wanted me to come perform at one of his venues. It was super low key. You couldn't even like record and take videos there. It was that kind of event. But there was so many people showing love, so many people there. And that was a great performance. I really enjoyed that one.
Nice. If you could do a show open for like any artist at all, who would it be and what?
Right now, honestly,
it's a hard question.
It's definitely a hard question. I'm trying to think. There's a lot of artists, like bigger artists that I really like. And if I had to choose someone right now, the first name that came to mind was Kanye. I'm not even the biggest fan of Kanye, but I would definitely open up for Kanye. Like, that sounds fire. So yeah, that's my answer right now. Kanye. And secondary option would be Kendrick Lamar. Like, I'll open up for Kendrick. I wouldn't want to, but I would.
No, I bet like that would be a lot of fun. Like whenever I see any like YouTube videos or like Instagrams of their shows, like it's definitely a big amount of energy.
Right. It's like you really have to go up there and perform. And it's like, oh, snaps. Like that seems terrifying, but it seems cool too.
Yeah. And okay, when I ask you like what time of the day you're writing, honestly, I was thinking you would respond morning just because you go by Kenny Morningstar. And I was so confused. I'm like, why Morningstar? Like, what, like, can you tell me more? Like, why Kenny Morningstar? Why not just Kenny? Why just not Morningstar? And why is it morning? Why not Nightstar? Really? I don't know.
Actually, Nightstar sounds super fire. I never even thought of it. But Nightstar sounds fire.
Okay. Maybe we can work it out and you can pay me. Like,
that's what I was just thinking. I'm like, if I use that in the future, I got you. Like, I got you all. That's actually something that people ask me, like, a decent amount, not a lot, but a decent amount. People keep saying, like, oh, is it Morningstar from fucking Lucifer? Like, no, nigga. Like, I don't ever watch that show. I don't even know what, I don't ever watch that. But where I got Morningstar from, so Kenneth is my real first name, and I always get called Kenny because my dad's name is Kenneth, and so people call me Kenny to differentiate. And for the longest, I was thinking of a rap name. I'm like, what would be a cool rap name? I was like, I wanted to use my own name, but then I'm like, that's too gimmicky. Like, I don't ever think my real name is a good rap name. So I'm like, well, I could do something with Kenny. I don't know. And then I got Morningstar from a few things, actually. So something that I really try to tell people that I lean more towards when I explain Morningstar is it's a medieval weapon, and it has like a ball. It's like a bat with a ball at the end, and there's spikes in the ball type stuff. And so like, I think that's cool. I wasn't a super huge like medieval fan, but growing up, like I was always around, not even around, but I always learned about like dark ages, medieval stuff, you know, knights and whatnot. And medieval times, they really put me onto some stuff, not gonna lie. Also, Deadliest Warrior, those two things put me onto some medieval stuff. So that's where I got, that's one explanation for Morningstar. Another one is actually DC Comics' Lucifer Morningstar. And that's why I get mad, because I'm like, I don't watch Lucifer, but I know the character from DC Comics. The way that they portray Lucifer Morningstar in the DC Comics, I really think is interesting. Of course, it takes a lot from like the biblical understanding of Lucifer and whatnot, but the way that they talk about it is he's a fallen angel that knows all and is all, and he's not evil, he's not good, he's just a god, you know, that roams around the universe looking for things to do. And that's kind of like how I want people to envision me. Of course, that's like mad narcissistic, like a god. No, not like that. But in a way where it's just like, it's this guy, this cool guy, just going around doing stuff. And the last explanation is like the actual sun. It's a morning star. That's what I try to base a lot of my writings off of, like the universe, the sun, and like that type of stuff, because I believe a lot in the universe and what it can do, what it can produce. I mean, it made us, you feel me? If you believe in like Christianity, evolution, I'm not saying either thing is wrong, but I feel like maybe there's just multiple explanations for our existence. And a good source of like of our health comes from the sun.
I think it's very unique too. Like, I would definitely remember that, like, you know, if I would see someone, I'm like, can you Morningstar? Because it like made me question, like why? Like, interesting. Do you have any songs about your story, I would say?
Yeah, actually, in a lot of my songs, I reference my personal life like often. And sometimes like it takes me a minute to even realize that I did. But for instance, so the second EP I dropped, I dropped two EPs, one in 2019, or both of them actually in 2019 that I remember. North Lovers Lane Road is actually a road in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that my friend Jerry, shout out to Jerry, but he used to live on that road. And there was just a lot of real conversations that we both had together at his house and whatnot. A lot of moments shared and everything. I guess that's more of a broad reference to like my life and what happens. But to really find out more about me, I would say, in my second EP, it's called West Keefe Ave. That's the street that I grew up on in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And in that area is one of the most like impoverished areas in the city, just below the poverty line and whatnot. And throughout that EP, I just talk a lot about what I've been going through living in that area. And I have a song called Black Boy Raps Part 1. And I still need to do a part 2, but we'll see how that goes. But in part 1 of that song, I talk a lot about getting kicked out of college, you know, and that shit sucked, of course, but getting kicked out of college, understanding myself, understanding where, like, where I think I'm going in life and whatnot, and more, I feel like it's shown a lot more and more of my recent music that I haven't put out yet, but it's on the way, it's on the way, the album on the way, Skylark and whatnot. I'm trying to get more comfortable with talking about, like, my personal stories and, but I feel like, yeah, you can learn a lot from me just listening to West Keefe Ave or listening to a song that I have called Red Berries or Monte Cristo, which is a recent song that I dropped. And to be specific with Monte Cristo, that's one of my more personal songs where I'm really telling you about like what I've been thinking. For instance, there's a line in that song where I said it. It's getting cold mid-December, walking around with a Kimba, take my shot like I'm Kimba Walker. And that's some other stuff. I say, met her at the altar, my shorty skin like Kiki Palmer. My baby pops died, I tried to be there for his daughter. And what those lines just mean is, one, my girlfriend, she's black, white, she's African-American. And her father, you know, he passed away a little while ago. And I try to be there for her because I love her. And not just because I love her, but I also understand what it feels like to lose, especially someone so significant and important to you. And that's what those lines mean. And in Monte Cristo is just a lot of that, a lot of the references to myself, to my life and what's going on personally. But yeah, I'm trying to get more comfortable with that. And, you know, really showing who I am.
I'm really happy to hear that, like, you're not afraid, I guess, to talk more about your personal life, because it can be really hard to, you know.
It's super hard to, even with us interviewing and whatnot, like, I already know, like, as an interviewer, you don't want to put too much out there, but it's also, like, there's things that you want to say that sometimes you can't, even if you're feeling it. So, yeah, just trying to be more vulnerable and more open, I guess, as an artist.
If you would say, what song would you recommend listening first in order to understand like your music and like really get to know you, like of all of them, like just one song? Can you pick one?
Just one song. If I had to tell you to like, yo, sit down and listen to this, I would honestly, I guess I would say Red Berries. It's a track that I made. Red Berries is on SoundCloud. So going back to what you were saying about like, you know, putting your personal life out there and whatnot, What I've done a lot more is put my personal ideas out there. Like the things that I believe, like just in general. And I think Red Berries encapsulate like exactly what I believe in, just in terms of like religion, philosophy, like it, all of those things. It shows you like what I think and how I feel type stuff. And I think Red Berries also shows the change in direction sonically that I've been going into so far, especially when it comes to rapping and just wanting to rap. Red Berries is one of those tracks where I just rap. I would say it's definitely dense lyricism that has a lot of meaning if you choose to, like, you know, find what the meaning is, how the Bible, like, how it could be false, it couldn't be, like, it's things that could be false, things that can be true. There's ways in which it paints and depicts Black people that I don't agree with, but we're forced to believe in. And not only just those things, but how a lot of the systemic issues that we go through are all part and parcel of a larger system that we can barely understand and grasp ourselves. I talk about that a lot in Red Berries, and it's not like a political song. It's nothing like that, but it just brings up those ideas and hopefully challenges them in ways that can be seen.
Okay, cool. I will definitely play the song instead of our interview. And you mentioned that your sister is a musician also, right?
Yes, she is.
So do you have any other family members who are musicians, or is it just like you and your sister?
Honestly, like, my family members aren't that cool. So no, like, I honestly do think it's just me and my sister, because we just grew up in certain things, in certain environments. Because I grew up doing debate and forensics, and she grew up like doing ballet, singing lessons, playing instruments and whatnot. A lot of the musical creativity, I think, just came to me and her. And and she's a singer. She lives in New York right now.
So is she, would you say, like, is she the most supportive, like, person of your music since she also does it? Who would you say, like, supports you the most throughout your career?
Honestly, like, my mom, dad, and my sister, they're my biggest supporters. And outside of them, a lot of my close friends, they love the music. But specifically, shout out to my homie Howie. He purchases my music, like, often. He buys that stuff, and I'm like, yo, you don't have to do that. But he's like, hey, I just want to support. And so I definitely appreciate that. And so, but Howie is a huge supporter. Nick, my friend Nick, a huge supporter of my music. And those are the five people that I can tell you off rip, like, that really, really at least showed me that they really like the music. And it's super appreciated. And everybody, you know, out there that watches this, if you have a friend that does something artistic, something creative, it doesn't always have to be a form of art. Show them you care. Like, show them that you support them. It takes less than a minute, you know, to like something, or to just say, hey, like, you really, I see the progression, or this is something that you could do better if you wanted to, you know, those type of things. I think if more people just supported the things that people want to do, a lot more things will get done.
Yes, definitely. Like, even a small repost on, like, Instagram of your, like, new release, it means a lot. I have a lot of also friends who are music artists, and, like, I always try to, like, show them some love whenever they release something, and just, like, say, like, hey, check that out, you know?
Yeah, and that's how it should be. Like, I don't know why people are so, like, stingy about things, even when they like it. Like, they really like it, but then they don't, like, they don't show you love for it for some reason. Is people are weird these days. I don't understand it. Like,
yeah. And so you said you released two EPs on 2019, right?
Right.
That's crazy. That's a lot of work, I feel like. Two of them. Wow. How was 2020 for you? How was COVID year? Crazy, yeah. Better, inspirational. You're an extrovert. How was staying at home, quarantining?
2020 was weird. Like, that's probably the best way I can explain it. I had, like, a lot of lows in 2020. I would argue I had more lows than highs in 2020. But, hey, we all go through it, you feel me? But 2020, in terms of, like, inspiration and music making, I would say that they were all very good ideas that could have been executed a little better. And that's just, you know, being a young artist and growing still. But looking back on certain things, there are things that I wish I didn't rush. There are things that I wish I re-recorded and whatnot. But 2020 was the year that I dropped another EP called Fighting Evil by Moonlight. And that was the one project that I worked, like, a lot more on, or just added more elements to, that I really enjoyed. And shout out to my friend Khalil Kumo. Without Kumo, like, I wouldn't be anywhere. And that's just facts. Like, I owe that man everything, because he's the one that's helped me and really pushed me to wanting to make more music, to wanting to really make an EP that I can do something with. So all love to Kumo, of course. And 2020 is also the year I dropped Red Berries in the music video for it. And I feel like that was pretty much the first time I really got the response that I've been wanting from dropping a single or dropping something. before the pandemic started, I was getting a lot more steam in terms of like performing at shows and like just performances in general. So when that died down, my like want to make music died down too. But going forward and everything, I didn't want it to stop me from creating, you know, like when you just have a passion for something, like it's no stopping it. It's just a change of perspective, honestly. But 2020 pushed me to become a better rapper, being better at making music and really creating my own sound. Having all of those months, like just being at home quarantining, it of course is a blessing and a curse, but it was a blessing to really help me hone in on like what I think I'm good at, my flaws and what I have down. And right now, like a flaw that I have is that I can definitely see why people wouldn't like rock with my music or at least a few songs, just because maybe the perception and whatnot, like the pandemic helped me become more confident. So I rock with 2020 just a little bit, but the lows were lows, the highs were highs. And that's the best way I can say it.
No, I agree. I feel like 2020 was like strange for everybody. I definitely also like found some time to like self-reflect, and it helps, you know, like especially with like writing. I'm a journalism major, so I write a lot too. Yep.
Shout out to you.
It's different writing, but it's still writing, you know.
Right.
Have you done any virtual performances at all?
So I've done like one on Instagram Live. Pretty cool. I think what really stopped me from wanting to continue doing it is just not having an audience at the time. Like I just didn't really have an audience, or I didn't really have a way to market myself, honestly. So it stopped me for a while, and I would like to start doing it again. But honestly, I want to start having more concerts. I'm hoping that at some time before 2021 is over, I can make my apartment a place for concerts to be held. That's the next move. That's honestly the next move.
Yeah, sure. Like, I enjoy talking to you. I'm having a lot of fun. It's really interesting to like learn about your music and you also. Have you had any moment, I feel like everyone does, like especially when you're an artist, when right. you are like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm too tired. Like nobody watches me. Nobody listens to me. Like what's going on? I spend so much time on it, and like the result isn't what I'm like wanted to receive. You know, have you had that?
I definitely had that moment before. Like, and it's like, honestly, I wish more artists like talked about that, more creatives. I wish they talked about like having those moments where they truly doubted themselves, and I know a lot of us don't want to go back to that mindset or even in that frame of thinking when you were going through those things, because I have a super close homie that's going through that now, and it pisses me off because he's so talented and you see the talent, but he doesn't feel like that, you know. And I would say that after I dropped West Keith Ave, I went through that like hard, and it was mainly because I didn't really have a voice, you know, like I felt like I was getting too much from my influences, that I wasn't being an influencer. And it really like hurt me, mainly because, and it wasn't like anyone was telling me that, because, you know, like when you're a small artist, you don't really have a huge fan base that's criticizing you, but you're your biggest critic at that point. And when you start seeing these things, you just start seeing things that other people don't see, or other people aren't even thinking about when they listen to your music. And so yeah, 2019 going into 2020, I had these huge doubts about like, what if like how I'm rapping is corny? What if what I'm saying just doesn't come off as authentic? Like, and I feel like a lot of us go through that. And the way that I got over that was like, even through all of that, I kept writing. Like, I just kept writing because I felt as though, like, if I feel like I don't have a voice, why not make one? Why not create a voice for myself? Why not create a lane for me to exist in that's not just like a lane, but a way to grow? And I think it's easy to just give up on yourself when you don't feel like you have support or guidance. Like, it's just so easy. And that's the scary part about all of this. Like, you can give up today and there was somebody tomorrow that wanted to interview you. Like, it's stuff like that. You feel me? But yeah, I would say that was the moment that I had, like, to really turn around and think about, why am I doing this? Is there a reason why? And if there is a reason, like, is it a good reason? Is it a good reason for myself? And that's still something that I question every day, but I use it as motivation instead of, like, a way to deter myself from, like, wanting to create.
So what would you say, like, your reason right now to keep creating music?
Right now, I just want people to know that, like, I'm a great rapper, you know, that I make good music, and that the music that I make is solid. It's more than what a lot of people, at least now, are doing too. And I guess that's the real reason why I'm still going, because at the end of the day, like, you want your stuff to be seen and you want to be recognized for what you can do. And I guess I just really want that recognition now. Like, and once I get that, I don't know what my next goal is going to be. Whether or not you see me as a good rapper and just a rapper or a good artist, the recognition from people that understand, like, how to make music is all I care about.
I love your spirit, definitely. Don't give up on what you love. And what are you working on currently?
I have another EP in the works. It's called Skylark. It's dropping this summer, sometime this summer. That's what I've been working on a lot recently. It's like 9 songs, all produced by my friend Messi. But outside of that, I've just been trying to work on a plan to have music releases every month, every few weeks and whatnot. And the next song that I have coming out, actually, this Friday, it's another track that's produced by my homie S-Rock. He also produced Monte Cristo. And this track is called Ecclesiastes. That's what's coming out next. We have a music video and everything, but I'm really just trying to put a lot into Skylark, because I think that can be something for me. You know how, like, I'm pretty sure you had that piece that you were like, yo, once this is published, like, it's no turning back. Or once I do this, like, I know for a fact it's going to open some doors. And that's how I feel about Skylark right now. I think once I have everything down together and have it the way that I want it to be, it could be something good for me. It could be something bad too, but I think it can do more good than harm.
Nice. It was great talking to you. I don't think I have any more, like, questions. Is there anything you would like to add? Maybe something I didn't ask, or something you would like your listeners to know?
Definitely. One, shout out to Mary. Two, shout out to the Tommy. Thank you both for, you know, putting me in contact with you. You feel me? And thank you for having me on. Skylark is dropping very, very soon. And hey, if you need any pictures done, anybody out there, hit up me on blankfaces.jpg on Instagram. I'm doing some pictures, so let me know. And that's about everything.
Great. Thank you so much again. I really appreciate the conversation. It was so fun to get to know you.
It was nice talking to you.
And now check out Redberries by Kenny Morningstar.
Ladies and gentlemen, bitches and niggas alike, you are now tuned in to YBF Radio.
Been riding on my high horse. It's been hard to come down on cloud 9, but the sky getting wrung out, the rainfall. I'm waiting to see God descend. It's obvious, it's not happening. I'll replace the thought with my consciousness. My consequences being locked away in an obelisk. There's a shift in the ambience. I don't show face too much, she called me ominous. The smog made me start vomiting. That's a concoction of too much knowledge and false promises. Missed opportunity with lost dominance. That transformed into a cohort of young black men who ready to start conquering the land that colonizers stolen, got profit in. The logic is win-win. When you take back, then you take some more. Another life in the zeitgeist taken by the liquor store. Fighting with Aryans in red coats. You can't arrest me, better let my zips go. Cause my ancestors taught me to swing low. And the sweet chariot gonna be the one to carry me home. This is so you know, it's not our final lifetime. In my mind, I done died, but I came back during prime time. A wise guy, a victim of black plight, came into 2020 with some good-ass eyesight. a product of the life I live, living big, but don't know if I can make it positive. It's possible, jump these hurdles to dodge these obstacles. My birth getting better, the church sings my name, but I'm still getting fed up. I just lost a day with destiny and almost dropped college cause I ain't had the means. Now a nigga back on his bullshit like Zach Levine. I'm a chocolate king, my baby's sweet, only address her as my black queen. Got a stomach full of red berries, mixed the vintage with the Fred Perry. I just got that bag now, niggas calling me Scary Terry. Ain't no nigga gave me demerits. These bonds are what I cherish, and I've been popping since Garrett. I'm not Garrett Temple. Pour a shot in her dimple. She can suck the salt out of pickle. Don't talk, just dribble. A correspondent who responds can get a shot in the temple. Why you hate niggas? Use my death as a hate symbol. Smoking on some gravel got me talking like Dale Gribble, nigga.
If you like what you just heard, check out Kenny Morningstar on all social media platforms.